Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Stretch Goose Podcast, episode 74. Glad to be here with you for the next hour. We will get into sports, movies, video games, and good old-fashioned news. This podcast is a member of the Fonts Media Network, a network that consists of a variety of shows, from World Ablaze with George Fonts for political chatter, Random Thoughts with Manuel and George for all your pointless conversations, this podcast for just straight news, the history of, for all your useless historical education about the most mundane of items. Let's get into this. Okay, we are here. It is episode 74. Kyle just got done with the... how is Kyle anyway, outside of stiffing me on a concert ticket?
Pretty good. Just moving or trying to figure out how to do all this moving stuff, but I keep getting error codes. So even though it charged my card $1. So, you know,
well, the one
so much for that.
Yeah, well, the $1, isn't that like a fucking tester? Make sure your card works.
Yeah, it's a tester, and they've charged me $1 each time I've tried to test it. So
how many times have you done it? 5?
No, like 3 times now, just to...
Give them $5 or what?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. Guess I'll figure it out, or I'll have to call them. We'll see.
Yeah, I think you will survive.
Yeah.
Okay, as we usually do when we are together, we go through the list of movies, sports, video games, and then we throw in a news topic for funsies. We're gonna keep this train rolling. So, Spider-Man Noir is on MGM now. Nicolas Cage is hard at work.
Yeah.
He's been spotted in his outfit, running around doing whatever the hell the series is supposedly all about. It's set in the 1930s. It's about an aging, down on his luck private eye who somehow turns into Spider-Man or some shit. Do you think that shit's going to do well? I mean, MGM is the studio owned by Jeff Bezos and Amazon, and they did produce Lord of the Shits.
I don't know. I feel like it would. That's like...
How do you?
But I couldn't tell you.
How do you feel about 60-year-old Nicolas Cage in a Spider-Man outfit?
That's what I don't... Like, I feel like the story may do good, but I'm not too confident in Nicolas Cage at all, honestly.
Seriously?
No. Not for that type of role, you know what I mean? Like, if it was anything else, maybe, but I don't think so.
Well, by the way, if you hear crunching, it's because I'm eating some really good trail mix.
All right. Very well.
Because I'm hungry and I didn't really eat dinner. Because I had to take your sister to gymnastics, and I'm working on Hot Pockets.
Really?
And granola bars, and that's not a good dinner.
Fair.
Not that this is any better. I know you don't give a shit, but I'm just relaying information.
No, I mean, it's interesting, that's for sure.
How so? The fuck? What do you mean?
I don't know, like, gymnastics, I guess, don't get to eat. You didn't have time to eat, like, at all?
Dude, my job takes away my life. So when I got home, it was straight to the silly. So.
All right.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But I got chocolate covered raisins. I got some M&Ms. I got some peanut butter cereal bites. I got some peanut butter cups. And then those stupid nuts they throw in these things that really take away from the awesomeness of this trail mix. So,
okay.
Hey, you can laugh if you want. Fuck you. I don't care.
Hey, you know.
HBO, man, they confirmed the release date of The Last of Us and Peacemaker Season 2. They are slated for 2025 because it takes fucking forever now to get a TV show, you know, completed.
By the fucking thing. Okay.
Why do you think that shit is?
I don't know, honestly. I never understood, like, the turnaround for, like, these type of shows and stuff. I just don't.
Because The Last of Us was...
I don't get it. It was...
23? So every 2 years they put out a... They're going to put out a season? Peacemaker's been sitting since James Gunn got a hold of shit. But The Last of yeah, it was January 23. Peacemaker is the Suicide Squad spinoff, and John Cena is in the role. The Peacemaker was originally part of the DCEU, but then James Gunn got a hold of it, and he pushed it back into 2025 to coincide with the Superman release, because I guess that shit is supposedly going to be on the same timeline. I don't know. What is James Gunn doing other than making us wait on everything since the failure of Blue Beetle?
I don't know.
Like, I don't...
Honestly, I don't know. Granted, I didn't see Blue Beetle either, so I have no idea.
Dude, I'll save it for you. And I know this is going to sound racist, but I'm going to save you some trouble. Mm-hmm. All right? And to all of my Hispanic listeners out there, and I want you to know that I don't mean this in a... It's going to sound racist, but I don't mean it that way. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Here we go. This was a film that I think was just put together just to give a bunch of Hispanics movie roles. I don't think, because the story sucked. And yeah. There was no reason to make this movie. And that's my only conclusion. Now, if I'm wrong, you guys are more than welcome in the comments to call me a bunch of names. I'm okay with it. That's just how I feel. Because the movie didn't make any money. The story didn't make any sense. And if that was going to kick off James Gunn's universe, it's a terrible start. And I just think it was a movie that was just to give Hispanics a movie to talk about, like Black Panther was for black people. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I don't think that sounds racist, but if it does, I apologize. All my Hispanic listeners circling the globe. Anyway, all right. Look, dude, you're like frozen in time. You're just waiting to get out of the movies.
No, I haven't. I honestly don't keep up on movies. I don't keep up on directors.
That's fine. That's fine.
I know some movies and I know some series and stuff like that, but I have done.
Okay.
Haven't done well.
I know. I can tell. Because these last three episodes have been a fucking swan dive in the movie segment.
Yeah, when it comes to the movies, I know.
All right, what are we gonna do?
I just don't, I don't do movies too much anymore. I should.
Has Married Life destroyed you already? Shit.
No, it's she's more into TV shows. She likes how the story continues. Or movies that have like an already existing series, you know, like for instance, we're watching the Pirates of the Caribbean series. Stuff like that.
Okay.
So like, she likes Venom. We haven't seen Venom 3. I've heard it's really good, but
For some reason Venom did surprisingly well. I think it's at the 400 mark.
Yeah, that's what I heard actually. I heard it was doing well. That's why I wanted to kind of like touch on it, because I know when it comes to movies, like you do a lot of deep dive into like box office stuff like that, but I do know that it's making waves.
Yeah, it's doing a lot better than I can't remember what. See, I just do brain fart. Fuck it, moving on.
All right,
forget it. I mean, Venom's doing well, and I just don't remember what else was released. Oh, well.
Fair, yeah.
Okay, all right, what the fuck's wrong in Dallas? What the fuck? Dak Prescott is hurt. Cooper Rush walked out there and shit all over the field. McCarthy is in trouble. Parsons came back, played fairly well, but he's already upset. They're 3-7 at this point. Have I missed anything? Like, it's a total bonfire in Dallas. Oh, they were complaining about the field because the way the sun hits, CeeDee Lamb couldn't catch those two touchdowns. He was fucking upset about the sunlight.
Yeah, I did see that. So,
Jerry Jones didn't spend his money on a roof, or if he did, he didn't close it. I don't know. Like,
Well, it wasn't the roof. It was, so they have that glass in the center, and since it was an afternoon, late afternoon game, the sun was setting, so it was shining through that glass. So it had nothing to do with the actual roof. It was the sides of the building itself. The entrance is like a glass wall. It's kind of cool, but
you've been there, I'm assuming.
I have. That was the first and only Eagles game I've ever been to. What was to that stadium?
Oh, okay.
That was when Carson Wentz was still playing with Philly.
Mm.
Yeah, and DeSean Jackson was still with Philly.
Now Carson is on a better team.
Yep, pretty much.
Moving on.
A team that gets supported by flags, but you know.
All right. Listen. You want to have that discussion? We can have that.
I think that's for another episode, actually.
No, we're going to
I do think it would be good.
You threw the fucking haymaker, and we're going to dive in, okay? Listen, I know Juwan Taylor is the fastest man off the line of scrimmage ever.
That was the first guy I was going
to
mention.
I know knows how to do that. I know he should be flagged every down. I get it. I also know that our new left tackle, Juana Morris, is a really good arm locker.
In other words, you're just acknowledging that these flags are being blatantly ignored. Like,
I also know that Nick Bolton has been doing helmet-to-helmet hits for the last 3 weeks, and nobody said a word. All right?
Chanel likes to grab face masks. Yeah,
yes, he has grabbed a hair puller, too. I'm a fan. I see it. I know. And I also know that McDuffie has yet to find the ball at any point when he's covering a guy on any route. Technically, it's pass interference, but because he also grabs the top of the shoulder pads like 8 out of 10 times. I also know that
you're just agreeing with, like, we're just props to the Chiefs for being undefeated when Mahomes is statistically having the worst year that he's had career wise. That's great. You know, I just think that the flags are very lopsided during Chiefs games. And it's kind of getting to the point where it's obvious. Like, granted, face mask calls are, like, impossible for the Zebras to pull flag on. They won't do it. And we saw two of them with the Eagles game. Blatant face masks, well, on one of them. The other one was like, eh. And both of them, actually, they pulled a flag on one of them, and then they rescinded the flag. But, you know, and that's been a thing throughout the NFL. Every single fan of every team has experienced one face mask where dudes' heads are going in circles.
Listen, I also have seen this at least twice with the Chiefs defense. The infamous hip drop tackle.
Oh, yeah,
I have seen it.
What game? It was a Chiefs game I was watching. I don't remember. It might have been the Bengal game. There was a blatant hip drop. Like, it was the definition of a hip drop, and they just, like, the ref was like, nah.
Listen, hands to the face is Humphrey's go-to move. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
He's a center. He snaps. One hand goes right in the face. He grabs the mask. He shoves the dude. What are you gonna do?
But is there some argument? Like, I can make an argument for him. He's the center. There's a lot of stuff going on around him.
I can make an argument. We can't
have
35 flags on the field either.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But I could also make an argument that for some reason, the tackles who are on the edge closest to the referees can just jump. You know, like, there was one in the most recent week where
I can't help it if Taylor and Crosby's across from Taylor, and Taylor's got to get five yards deeper.
Yeah,
and it's a hop and a slide.
And
okay?
Taylor, there. I think they did like a slow motion. He was already in his full drop back before the ball was even snapped.
There's nothing I can. Like, I know what I got. I know what I'm looking at, and nothing I can do.
Yeah. All I said was that there's flags that are being blatantly ignored. You 100% per the rules could have a 35 flag game.
Oh, yes. The Chiefs could be flagged like 35 times for 600 yards. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. It is.
Dude, there's no question there's some funny business in Kansas City.
It's very.
I will enjoy the ride. I don't give a shit.
I would too. You know, if the Eagles were in the same position, I would too.
If you had the 6-year run that I've had, you wouldn't give a shit about it.
Yeah, I really wouldn't. I'd just be like, hey, but the anyway, referees back, look the other way.
All right, back to Dallas. Why is Dallas smell? What is going on?
I don't know. I personally just, I think Jerry Jones is ruining that team and ruining everything they have.
Yes, he is.
And it's going to get to a point where there's players like CeeDee Lamb that are going to want to leave. You know, Micah Parsons is going to want to leave. There's, you know, I don't know, maybe Trayvon Diggs would want to leave too. Like, you know, these star players that are going to have to get paid at some point or have been paid are going to run into cap issues or just performance issues, and they're not going to want to be there no more. You know?
Yeah.
Now, about the sunlight piece, I feel like that's more on the coaches, because when the coin flip was made and everything, they could have picked the other side of the field knowing that the sunset was going to blind whoever was going to go towards that end zone. So,
but you can also change play calling when the sun hits too. That's McCarthy.
Oh, yeah. Again, I think it's a coaching thing to turn around and blame Jerry for the $1.2 billion stadium he built. It is like absurd, because like you can use that as an advantage. Yeah. That is a home field advantage right there. It's like, hey, I'm going to blind the other team. Dude.
It was insane reading those articles. I was like, really? We're going to talk about the
Cowboys fans will blame everybody but themselves. And their coaching staff. Like, you could blame Jerry for a lot, but to blame him for that stadium is really nice. It's a good stadium. To blame him for the build of the stadium because the sun happened to set earlier because of daylight savings is insane.
I know.
Like, it's absurd.
Okay. How do we fix Dallas right now?
I don't know.
I have an idea.
There's no way they can remotely return from the state that they're in now. Now, as for the off season, there's, you know, they could do a full refresh if they wanted to. Maybe give Jerry Jones like not GM powers.
Well, here's what I think they could do in the middle of the season. McCarthy has to throw his play call, his call sheet away.
Does need to take a step back.
He really has to just stop being retarded.
Yeah,
because he's still calling the games the same way he called them 20 years ago, and the league has progressed and he has not. You know, like he's still doing the same issues with the clock, the same issues with down and distance. He's still, it's ridiculous. And at some point, you got to find a fresh eyeball or something. Like, it can't just be the way he's doing it. I mean, the defense is fine, but they start to wear because they're on the field all fucking day. It's hard to watch Dallas play offense. They can't move the ball at all. I mean, I think it was 3 weeks in a row, 10 points or less was the score, and the defense was just there for 60, 70 plays. I don't know, man. They got to figure something out in that area. Maybe temporarily that solves it. And then when they hit the off season, they got to figure out, do they really want Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
I mean, they gave him all that money, but still, do you really, I mean, is he really the guy? Because he has folded like a lawn chair every year at a certain point in the season. And then you're just sitting there staring at staring up at whoever the fuck it is, whether it's the Eagles or, I guess this year it's the Commanders, the Giants a couple years ago when they had a small run.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if I'm wrong, I'm sure there's somebody in the comments that will go, yeah, you Chief fan and whatever, but I just think, that's what I think. I just think they need to, or fire McCarthy, fuck it, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm personally amazed by all of it. It just doesn't. It doesn't make sense. I don't know. I don't know how to fix them. I'm glad that they're not getting fixed.
now you just got to worry about this year. It's the Commanders. You got to worry about them now.
Yeah, it really is. And after, I mean, they're still like, just because the Eagles beat them doesn't mean that they're not going to split the series.
Oh, I know.
You know, like that. That's still a very strong offense. I will say that the Eagles defense is something else this year. Like they are insane. And I'm glad that they bought into Vic Fangio's defense.
Well, they have the talent for it.
Huh?
They have the talent for it. They have
Oh, they do. And they're so young. Actually, the commentators were talking about this during tonight's game, where Vic didn't really fit in Miami's defense very well because there were so many veterans. They didn't really buy into his plans. But over here in Philly, there's so many rookies. There's so many like 2-3 year guys that he's able to influence them and give them information and stuff and build them to what he needs them to be. And yeah. I think it's working out great. The first couple weeks was like, what the fuck's going on? But it really, like, the last six games, you know, obviously you got Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, your two rookie corners, playing amazing. Quinyon being the star of all of that. He made Terry McLaurin irrelevant.
Is Slay still there?
He is, but he is more so becoming the second.
He's a slot
like CB two. Like he's not a slot. Cooper's a slot, so he's still on the outside. But when it comes to, you know, how normally they match up like your best corner with the best wide receiver, you know, and they kind of try to stay true to that. Lately, it's been the rookie Quinyon that has been going on to these guys. Like he was on Mike Evans, Jamar Chase, Terry McLaurin. The only reception Terry McLaurin got was off of Cooper DeJean. So it's good to see. But the offense is, fuck, man. They need to figure it out.
Dude, they won.
Like,
shut
I love
up.
Saquon.
Won.
Thank
they
God.
Won.
But I know. And it's hard to be like, dude, what was that? But
two
like,
touchdowns in 20 seconds. Calm down.
Yeah. Yeah. Saquon's definitely put a different type of life in that offense. I feel like if he wasn't there, this offense wouldn't be in the same boat that they're in now. So,
dude, Lenore got $92 million.
Yeah, I remember texting you that. I saw that, and one of our last later episodes, we just talked about the Niners and their money issues.
Yeah, and we talked
or
about
what they're about to have a money issue,
and we talked about how good their young core is. On
yeah,
defense.
And then they sign their young corner to $92 million.
Oh, does that mean? Yeah. Does that mean Chavarius Ward is going to find a new home next year?
Probably.
Yeah.
I want to know after $92 million, you still got to pay Bosa. Well, they paid Bosa already, but that's a big contract. Like, and then you got Hargrave's contract. Like, how are you going to afford Purdy? I mean, they're going to make it work. Obviously,
oh, they're
going to
make it work.
I'm just saying, like, how much money is he really going to get? He deserves the money.
I have a candidate. I do have a candidate for dismissal.
You know, for dismissal?
Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah. I think signing him was
a terrible idea.
And
he breaks a ligament?
It's not even just about getting hurt. Like, even prior to him getting hurt, he was hardly relevant. You know, he fought for all that money, and he did what with it? You know,
I mean, Juwan Jennings plays better.
Yeah,
that's a
for cheaper.
That's a discount.
Debo, you already paid Debo, and he still performs, but you also utilize him in 30 different ways, which is great.
But he's going to be due at the end of next year, though.
Yeah, and then you look at Christian McCaffrey, who, I mean, when he's on the field, he performs. He does great. Well, hopefully
but
we'll
now
find
you have
out
Jordan
this week.
Mason.
Yeah, who, you know, is a hard charging running back.
Another guy on the cheap for a couple more years. Do you move McCaffrey at the end of the year?
I don't think that'll happen.
Oh.
I think they're going to, yeah, I really do. I think they're going to hold on to him.
I don't know. You got to pay the Purdy. You know, you got to pay Purdy.
But
I'm just saying.
I do wonder if they're thinking about his whole Achilles, like issue where it's supposedly like a permanent thing now on both of his Achilles. Like, is he going to miss
a lot of
multiple
time
weeks
again?
Every single year? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then, you know, why would you keep him as great as he is? Why, you know, why would you hold on to him?
I'm just saying. So you got Mason and then you got that Guerrero. Not bad either.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Is
especially like if you want the versatility of CMC without CMC being there, you would just use Debo. And that's what they've been doing.
I know
because Jordan Mason's not like that. He's a bruiser. He's not like that agile, quick guy. He just runs people
over.
You
also drafted Ricky
Pearsall.
There you go. I mean, the Niners drafted Pearsall. I can see them moving Ayuk and Samuel. And then keeping.
I wouldn't bank on Pearsall that quickly.
Jennings, Pearsall. You can afford Purdy. Maybe you actually draft a left tackle and move Trent Williams and his $30 million complaining. Could do that. I mean, there's ways to slice this thing. I mean, obviously they gave Lenore $92 million. There's a way to do it.
That's the other thing is Trent Williams is, dude, it feels like he's been around forever.
36.
When he has been around
he's
forever.
He's 36, man. He's the oldest left tackle. Kind of weird.
He's been around for a while. Dude,
anyway. Is Aaron Rodgers finished? Yes.
No, he made a statement saying that he's likely coming back.
I don't care what he writes down. He still plays. He's still going to play. He's going to play dead. I just don't see it anymore. He's going to be, 41, 42 next year? I don't see it.
See him being stubborn and sticking around.
He's not mobile anymore. That injury really fucked him up when he plants and throws. Only one receiver on that offense understands him, and they barely got him in a trade. I mean, Wilson.
God, that would suck for Devontae.
It is sucking.
Every single team he goes to, the quarterback that he goes to that team for leaves
and falls apart.
Yeah, like he left Aaron Rodgers for the Raiders, and Derek Carr leaves that same year. Well, I mean, he didn't choose to leave, but he did.
Yep.
And then he goes over to the Jets. And chooses to go. He could have gone anywhere. You know what I mean? Like anybody would have taken him if they could afford him. He chose to go to the Jets for Aaron Rodgers, and then Aaron Rodgers retires, and then he's stuck with fucking whoever the backup is. That would suck. I would feel attacked. I wonder if that's why maybe Aaron Rodgers is thinking about another year. It's because like if he starts the year off strong with Devontae with the Jets, you know, maybe. But yeah. I feel like he's going to be stubborn. He's going to stay for 2025.
Here? Yeah. Well,
granted, he has to get re-signed. This is his contract year, so.
Well, he ain't playing good then.
Yeah, he only signed a two-year deal, and he was hurt for one of those years, so.
Well, he's got to be as good as Jared Goff and throw 5 interceptions and still win, you know.
Yeah.
He's got to do that. I actually saw some of that game, and I couldn't understand it. How do you blow? How do you blow a 23-7 lead and you get 5 interceptions and you still lose?
Like, yeah, what? I'm amazed.
I was blown away by CJ Stroud. Like, dude, finish the game. Like,
yeah,
solve this problem. Don't let Jericho. I don't know, dude. I got a kick out of that game. I was like, what the fuck? What is happening?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Aaron Rodgers will come back. I don't know how to fix the Cowboys. I just hope they burn.
It's okay, dude. They're in.
I hope it's the Commanders and Eagles for a little bit. That'd be cool.
It's your division. You obviously don't want them to.
Yeah.
You know. So it doesn't matter. But it is.
I do feel bad for them though, because it's such an amazing team, and they just. Can't get the play calling down.
Listen. We know, look, they have talent, but don't call them amazing. Calm down.
I feel like they can do some crazy stuff if they had the right staff. All the way from GM down to like coaching. You know. Maybe if they bought into the idea, because I mean you see it with the Commanders, you see it with Detroit, you see it with the Panthers, kinda. Or no, it's not the Panthers. Houston, sorry.
Yeah, it ain't the Panthers.
Forgive me, it's Houston. No, but like the mentality of having all these veteran players that become coaches on the staff, like the Commanders have, I think they said they have like 32 staff members that played in the NFL.
Well, so Detroit.
You know? And so does Detroit. But like Detroit kind of started that ball of like, we're going to have veterans be coaches. And then you even kind of saw it with the Raiders. So it's like, I wonder if Dallas, like if they hop on that train and they bring in some people who understand the game in a more modern sense, if they would
change a little bit, you know?
Well, then how do you explain Andy Reid?
Well, I'm not saying that's going to work for everybody. I'm just saying, like, it seems like a new age.
You got a dinosaur. You know, just saying.
But I still feel like, one, Andy Reid knows when to, like, take a step back if he's not doing a good job. And he's always done that. Yeah. But very rarely does he not do a good job. You know what I mean? Like, he's just one of those guys.
Hold on. Can you look up Eric Bieniemy? Where's he at? I totally forgot about that guy.
Eric Bieniemy?
Wow.
I don't know where he's at.
Because he was, last year he was the Commander OC, and that didn't work out.
Yeah.
Where's he at?
That's the wrong Eric Bieniemy, I could tell you that much.
Well, don't do that.
There's a running back for the Eagles that's named Eric Bieniemy, by the way.
Well, no. We need the older one.
I know. I'm aware. Oh yeah, he's at UCLA, offensive coordinator. That's right.
Really?
I remember. Yeah. I remember. I think I texted you that. I was like, man, he downgraded. He was like top of the line head coaching prospect, and the dude is like, I'm going to UCLA.
All right.
So, how's UCLA doing? Let's just see.
They better be winning games, or it's a waste of money.
They're 4-5, and they're 11th in the Big Ten.
All right, never mind.
Yeah, maybe people dodged a bullet with him.
Maybe, or yeah, maybe. Okay, this is video games. The segment is coming, but it ties into college football. The University of Washington has announced an NIL deal with the World of Warcraft Blizzard Entertainment. 20th anniversary of the game. Which I didn't even know the fucking World War 20 years. You know?
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I didn't know it was that old. So, what's going to happen is the Washington football will look a little more fantastical this weekend when it takes on UCLA on Friday, which is tomorrow, I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's because the Huskies have announced the deal in partnership with Blizzard, celebrating the 20th anniversary of World of Warcraft. As part of the deal, Washington will become the University of Warcraft in the days leading up to the matchup against UCLA. As part of the agreement, players will promote the University of Warcraft on social media. A custom logo will be revealed, and there will be mascots from the World of Warcraft game that will lead the team onto the field. The student section will receive themed shirts, et cetera, et cetera. If you give a shit,
that's,
you know,
that's actually like kind of interesting. I wonder, like,
I
if World of Warcraft is going to do that. I wonder if Call of Duty is going to start doing
what
that.
I
you
know,
like,
but does the uniform change? They didn't. It's not really. It's not really.
Probably
get a World of Warcraft uniform for the game.
Yeah. That would be cool, actually.
I mean, college football
I would like to see that.
College football is notorious for flipping the uniforms around, so.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. I don't know how that would work out for him.
If it's a success, you are correct. You're going to start to see more video games incorporated into college football, depending on which video game developer it is. But since that weird shit's happening, Microsoft is also confirming that many of its games will be launching on the PlayStation Network.
Okay.
They're saying that none of the Xbox exclusives are off limits when it comes to what might be ported over to the rival platform. Phil Spencer noted that he doesn't see the red lines some have drawn around Xbox's flagship titles. When asked about the potential of the next Halo launching on the platform, he said it is too early to comment. Xbox has proven this year that it is no longer afraid to release exclusives on rival platforms because they put Hi-Fi Rush on the PS5 and then they put Petiment on the Nintendo Switch, and the Sea of Thieves is on both. Phil Spencer has now confirmed that those tests on the cross-platform waters have gone well. And it is going to progress. Do you think that's a good idea?
I mean, I don't think it's a bad idea. I don't.
Because I mean, they're already cross-platforming as it is.
Yeah, I don't see the bad thing for that. I feel like exclusive games to certain platforms and stuff is kind of dumb anyway. You know, so
why is it dumb?
Because, like you said, like we're already doing cross-platform gameplay.
Yeah,
and with most games, so it's like, why not just start opening it up more? You know, and then you're having people go on, because most of the time, like, these exclusive games are available on PC 9 times out of 10, right? Whether it's like through the Game Pass, you know, like you have your Game Pass and then you have your Game Pass PC. So like dudes are playing them on PC, playing them with Xbox console. You might as well just like open it up to PlayStation or vice versa, right? Most PlayStation games that are exclusive to PlayStation, like Last of Us, for instance, is on Steam. Yeah, well, the first one is.
Well, we're talking about Xbox to PlayStation. I know we got the computer stuff, but
yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, since we're already going towards the PlayStation. Since we're already going towards the PC, might as well just jump over to the next console too. You know, like.
But what then? Why is Sony and Nintendo being bitches about it? Because Last of Us will not go into Microsoft.
I don't know. I really don't. I never understood that, to be honest. I think exclusive games should not be a thing. You know, maybe I do agree that, like, for instance, Last of Us or Uncharted, you know, those PlayStation games, maybe they get like a release date 2 weeks earlier than everybody else. You know,
really?
And maybe same thing with like Halo, which was an Xbox exclusive, where they would get it like 2 weeks before everybody else. But like to have it solely for them is, I never understood it. To be honest, I never really. I don't know.
Wow, this gamer has mixed feelings.
I've always supported. Now, granted, this is coming from a guy who bought a PlayStation specifically so he could play the show when it was exclusive to Sony. So, like, that's why I'm so against cross-platforming, because I'm not a PlayStation guy at all. So, there's a lot of games on PlayStation that I would like to play. So.
Boy, did you just You just cut your own legs off.
I'm just saying, like, I wish they would follow the Xbox's role and be like, oh, maybe we should share our games a little bit. Like,
okay, all right. that is true, though. The show did, but that wasn't a Sony game, was it?
What?
The show?
The Last of Us show?
No, the...
Oh, the show. You mean the MLB show. The show? That was a Sony game.
It is a Sony. So yeah. I take back what I said. Sony did do it first.
Yeah, because Sony still produces the show. When you turn on the Xbox version, it still says Sony, you know.
Okay.
So they did hand over baseball.
I'll take that back then. Then maybe Microsoft's returning the favor.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know, honestly.
I don't know. Here's my thing on it is, I like that these guys have their own exclusives and their own little deals, because if you're really into that company, it gives you a reason to stay with that company. But if everything is like all over the damn place, then there's no loyalty. There's no, you know, retaining of the audience. You can basically go wherever the hell you want. Then what's the point of making any specialty stuff? You know what I'm saying?
It kind of takes away the
what is that word? Allure? Not allure, is it? My vocabulary is terrible. There's a word that makes, and you're not going to help me. Okay,
I was about to say mine is just as bad. So
there's a word that basically means prestige, or I just say prestige. Like it makes you want to, you know, hang out. But if you're gonna sit there and go and, oh, this game anybody can have it, and it's like, well, then what's the point of being a, I don't know, that's just me.
Yeah
I mean, it's a small group, obviously, because everybody's into this fucking cross-platforming, taking games across the, you know, so that's just, it's a small group losing out, and that's okay, I guess.
I feel like the only, like, and really the only exclusive games are primarily those single player games and stuff. And I feel like single player games are kind of dying just a little bit, you know, like every game has some type of multiplayer form now.
And that's
where you get the cross gen, because at first it was like you could only play with, you could only play Call of Duty with those Xbox players, or you could only play Call of Duty with those PlayStation or PC or whatever. And then they decided to open up the servers to where you could be on Xbox playing against dudes who are on PC or PlayStation, so on and so forth, to bring in more money.
Well, yeah. You know? It's always about the money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. I got two news stories to stick with the theme here.
Okay.
All right. If you... Okay, so this is the New York Post. Down this one, E. coli cases are up to 104 in McDonald's outbreak tied to slivered onions. Excuse me. Woo! I'm going to cut that out. 104 people have been sickened, with 34 hospitalized in an outbreak of E. coli poisoning tied to onions served on McDonald's quarter pounder hamburgers. Health officials said on Wednesday cases have been detected in 14 states. According to an update by the CDC, one person has died in Colorado. Four people have developed potentially life-threatening kidney disease complication. Watch out at the McDonald's, kids. That's what that story means.
Yeah. Yeah, it's,
so if you're a quarter,
it's a good thing I don't go to McDonald's.
Well, I mean, just don't eat the fucking quarter pounder. Get chicken nuggets.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez, that's crazy.
I know. Fucking people are dying at the McDonald's.
I remember the last big one was Chipotle. That happened a couple times with Chipotle.
That was the lettuce. The lettuce. Was
yeah.
And of course, from Reuters. I can never say the name. Reuters. Oh, well. New York relaunching the Manhattan congestion charge plan. The governor, Kathy Hochul, will announce on Thursday that the state plans to revive a congestion charge for driving in parts of Manhattan that she indefinitely put on hold in June. New York City's congestion pricing program, the first of its kind in the U.S., was initially to have charged a toll of $15 during daytime hours for passenger vehicles driving in Manhattan south of 60th Street. So apparently they have a law. If you cause a lot of traffic, it'll cost you $15 a day on a toll booth in that area.
Interesting. Okay.
So a little funsy there. I don't know. It's...
Yeah, I didn't really know what you knew.
No.
Doesn't matter. See, vocabulary. That's what we were just talking about. Yeah,
we're fucking retarded.
Yeah, but I didn't really know. There we go. What you were talking about at first when it came to congestion, like what they were trying to hit. I thought they were just gonna start charging people for being a part of like a congested area, and it was like, to like thin out the herd, maybe. I don't know.
Well, that is exactly what that is, and that is exactly what the goal
is. Okay, so I was understanding. I just wanted to make sure.
So south of 60th Street seems to be a well-trafficked area, and they're instituting the $15 toll if you really want to be in that area at a certain point in the day or some shit.
I think that is dumb.
It is dumb.
Yeah, that is...
What they should do.
It's like the same thing with freaking California. Now, I don't know if this ever came in effect. I doubt it did. But like how certain cities like San Francisco and stuff were going to charge you by the mile.
That program is still in its testing phase.
Yeah. We want our places to be less congested. So we're pretty much just going to blockade you from ever visiting.
Yes.
Like what? I don't know. That's just me.
Well, dude, they don't even have people taking tickets at the bridge anymore. We're up there in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Blew right through. They said, don't stop. And there's like a camera just, you know, snapping away.
Yeah, I've ran into a few. It used to be like that at the Bay Bridge. Hell, it used to be like that in Coronado when I was a kid. If you drove past that giant bridge to go to Coronado, that's where all those booths were.
And now it's like, I mean, now you don't have to pay at all. It's just open. But yeah, you used to have to stop and at least like present yourself to the person and they'll be like, yeah, you can come through or whatever.
But yeah. It's sad.
Yeah.
No, more jobs gone.
Technology. Man. Yep.
Yeah. I saw a farming video of a robot knocking down corn.
It's just weird.
We're just running out, just taking our jobs.
Yeah. Did you hear, and this is another to build on the news thing. And obviously it didn't hit like major news because it hasn't been a thing yet, or they have, California hasn't put it in place, but it's another California specific thing when it comes to cars, is that they're going to put speed limiters on the car where if you exceed 10 miles over the posted speed limit, it'll start beeping, the car will start beeping at you and everything like that. It's essentially just supposedly going to get annoying to the point where you just slow down.
When you get back under that number. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go 10 over the posted speed limit, so if it's 65 on the highway and you're going 80, like it's going to start yelling at you.
But if I go 78, it won't make noise.
No, like it's like you have a 10 mile an hour bracket, so you can go 75 and it'll be like, whatever. You know, but you break that. So I think you said 78. Sorry. So yeah, it would realistically. And so that's a requirement. So if I'm not mistaken, that's a requirement coming soon. And then car producers, like obviously like our car brands have until like 2035 or something for it to be like a requirement 100%. So we might see those newer cars out there, yell at you a little bit if you're speeding. Yeah, and there's theories, because this part is a complete theory, there's no facts to it, but because that it goes off of GPS to tell you the right speed limit, so it goes off of like whatever is posted throughout the
are we gonna get GPS tickets in the mail?
Yeah, there's a theory that it'll, if you're going criminally fast, it'll ping your location to the local police department, or you'll get a speeding ticket in the mail.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love
But again, that is a California specific thing. That part is pure theory, but it honestly kind of makes sense. Cause if you want to put a speed limiter, so essentially put a governor on your car, and then you're going to say it has GPS capabilities. Like, why wouldn't it, you know, be like, hey, this guy's speeding. And then they just CP or CHP sends like a ticket over to your house.
You know? Nice.
Or if you're going like 30 over, they're gonna just pull up to you.
Dude, I hate the state of California. It just gets worse.
Yeah.
It just gets worse.
I mean, they already have drones. I mean, that's been a thing nationwide, but yeah, they already have drones pinging you for speeding.
You're making this highly discouraging now. You're lowering the morale.
Yeah.
Stop it.
And it's but the cool part is, for you motorcycle people out there, this speed limiter thing is only in passenger vehicles. Motorcycles do not fall under that. So there will be no speed limiters on motorcycles yet.
Well,
it only falls under anything that can carry two or more passengers.
Like a motorcycle?
Well, they said motorcycles don't fall under it.
But they
now
carry,
you could,
but, they
but
carry
not
two
all
people.
Not all motorcycles carry two people. Mine didn't. Mine was a one-seater. So I think that's where, you know what I mean? I think it's kind of hard to be like, oh, that's a two-person thing, when I could cut the seat down to one. And
I don't like this.
Be like, jokes on you.
I don't like this. I don't like the cheating. I don't. You motorcycle fucks get all the fucking perks.
Yeah, California is one of the most lenient states when it comes to motorcycles, which is actually really surprising.
You fuckers can cheat on the road.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can go in between cars as long as you're in the little lane.
Yep.
You can cut people off and then call me the asshole.
Well, I mean, those are not the good bikers, but I guess, yeah. I mean, that has happened. I've seen it.
I hate you all.
I've seen it, a quick little pet peeve about motorcyclists. Okay. I've ridden behind guys, and we're lane splitting down I-15, which is a very packed highway when you're going towards the direction I'm going. And I've seen guys who have plenty of space to fit,
And some cars are even considerate to move over, which, by the way, they're not required to move over. They move over to be nice. They're not required to move over. Now, they're not allowed to move into you, but they're not required to move over, if that, you know. And what I hate is like motorcyclists who feel like they are obligated to that space. Like, yes, be safe, and you make your presence known, whether you're revving your bike or whatever. But I specifically remember this one guy, and it happened with a girl that I was riding behind too. Both strangers, don't know who they are. It's just when it gets so congested, you eventually catch up to other people that are lane splitting.
I have a theory about you.
What?
Anytime there's a girl on a motorcycle in your stories, it's always bad.
I'm not going to say anything, but like, they're kind of crap. I'm just saying.
You met one rider and you ended up in a tree.
I did.
Telling me about this other one. And it's just saying.
Well, this one was long before. It was more so that these bikers, I've ran into two of them now, where they will get mad at cars for not moving over enough, even though it's not like they had to maneuver their bike to get out of the way or anything. So they'll like yell at the cars for not moving over enough. And sometimes, like, this one motorcyclist, this dude got pissed off at like this wide bed working truck for not moving over enough. And it's like, bro, how far do you want it? Like, do you understand that his car is just wide? You know,
there's nowhere for him to go.
Yeah. And I don't expect anybody to go into the shoulder. Like, there's stuff to pop your tires there. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want you to go there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't expect anybody to move over. If I'm lane splitting, I'm taking the risk. Like, you know, just don't move into me. That's not allowed. Just, you know.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm getting at is, like, I do hate how California, because obviously California is one of the few states that allow lane splitting at all times and filtering and all that stuff. I hate how motorcyclists think that they're obligated to have that space, that they're required to have that space, which is not true. You know, no matter how oblivious a driver in a car may be, or how aware, or maybe they just hate you, they're not required to give you any space.
This is true.
You know, so just my quick little rant coming from somebody who also rides, and I just get irritated when I see people that, you know, because they give people a bad name.
Are you going to be an advocate for this?
I already do. There's that one motorcyclist, the dude who yelled at the wide truck. I ran into him at the stoplight and I turned and I like told him, I was like, dude, you're not obligated to that space. And he was not a happy camper. That didn't turn into anything. I just wanted him to know that, like, he's not required to move. So,
man,
yeah, I personally hate it. I really do. For how many motorcycles are in my area?
The superhero of our time here.
Well, you also got to keep in mind, I don't know if you keep up too much on social media, but it hit the news for a while, speaking on the news part. But there was a point where people were making it a trend to open their doors on motorcyclists that were lane splitting and to turn into them
to do
and stuff
for
like that.
Decades,
you're fucked up. You know, you're just
I've been wanting to.
So
that's been
a huge trend. obviously, people blame it's not the millennial; it's the generation after millennial. It's my generation. So it's the early 20s
called the turd
people.
Buckets.
But yeah, so it's a lot of it was all over TikTok and Instagram where, like, the, you know, men, women, doesn't matter. They're like freaking out and saying, next time a bike comes past me, I'm going to turn into it. Like, just for no unprovoked reason.
I've always wanted to do that.
And it's like, you know, and you're out here screaming at guys for not moving over. What's the chances that he turns into the next guy? You know, so yeah.
That would have been, I mean, if I ever witness it, that's my hero.
I would not be happy if somebody purposely turned into me. I will tell you right now, I would destroy their car.
I'm just saying, like, open the doors, they're coming through the lane.
I'd break windows if they knocked me off my bike like that. I had one person turn into me. And I'm glad it didn't turn into anything. I mean, his mirror came with me, not on purpose, though. He turned into me and it hit my handlebar and his mirror just ripped right off. And I felt, I did feel bad, but I didn't stop. So
you didn't come back and give him his money?
No, he turned into me.
Oh,
there's no damage to my bike. So I feel like that was good enough.
Are motorcyclists entitled bitches?
I feel like a lot of them think they are. And then there's also a lot of them that are just like, hey, man, like, as long as you don't hit me, I'm cool. Like, and that's me. Just please don't hit me. I've already been hit once, and that was my fault. So, like...
This is true.
There's a lot of motorcyclists that are entitled. They'll blame everybody but themselves. And it's not cool. I don't think it's cool.
Those are bitches.
You know?
Entitled bitches.
I don't think it's cool at all. And you know, it's actually the same riders that have never really wrecked before, and they ride in fear almost because they're really scared to. I hope I don't turn into that, honestly. Like, I hope I don't get back on a new bike and freak out because I don't want to wreck again or anything. But yeah,
you'll be all right.
Yeah, please be nice to bikers, but if they're a dick to you, be a dick to them.
And on
it's only fair.
Public service announcement. We are going to call this episode finished. Thank you all for jumping on, hearing our bullshit for the last hour. And we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.